You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. The police there and a track called Da Do 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 Da 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 Da. And we played that especially for Anton, who's in the studio with Steve this afternoon. Welcome, gentlemen, to another Entrepreneur Zone. Did you like that?
I now know everything that I need to do.
Yeah, do. Yeah. You actually, I mean, Steve, you can be a witness. Initially, you got the lyrics wrong.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, anyway. Nice to see you, gentlemen. Steve, we are going to jump into where you left off 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the different kinds of rest and reminded our listeners that when we're feeling fatigued, tired, it doesn't only mean that you need more sleep, because there are seven kinds of rest and you need the appropriate response to the fatigue that you're feeling. But today we're going to look at a part of coming to the end of a year and people are fatigued, but celebrating. How do you celebrate as an organization, as a business? Celebrate, looking back, reflecting, and celebrating. I know you've often referred, Anton, to Brené Brown, and when I think of some of the things that she just highlights here, it makes me think, yep, that's Anton all right. Courage and fear living together. Rumbling with vulnerability. I like that. And the fact that some people walk with armored leadership, i.e. they've got this armor on and, you know, you can't get close. Now, on Saturday, you had the graduation of not only the entrepreneurs from the incubator that I was serving at, but also across the board, a lovely time of celebration, which leads into celebration and rest and reflection.
Yeah, hello, Steve and Richard and listeners. It's lovely to be here again. And I think it's so appropriate that we are discussing or talking about celebration at this season to be jolly.
Can I just pause you just to let people know where Anton comes from? Because we started talking. We've done this before, but other listeners may only have been hearing this for the first time. So Anton is the founder of an organization called the Zozo Foundation. And they are an organization that creates job opportunities for young people. And you are based in
Vrygrond Capricorn.
Okay, so that's the background, yeah. And it's an innovative organization, and Anton has been in a couple of times with Steve as his guest, sort of elaborating on some of the topics. Sorry to the interference.
That's great.
I'll sit back now and be quiet. Do-do-do-da-da-da-di-do-do-do.
So it is the season to be jolly, you were saying, Anton.
It is. So it's a time of celebration. Or at least it's a time where a lot of things are celebrated, and it's the end of school year and calendar year, and the end of it's the festive season. So there's quite a lot of celebrations and maybe staff parties and all these sort of things, functions, etc. So yeah, to talk about this, I think is the right time of the year. The tragedy, I think, is that it tends to be often the only time of the year. When, and so I think it should always be the season to celebrate, and this is not always so easy, but this time of year it becomes a little bit more easier to do because everybody's kind of in that celebratory mood.
Yes.
I want to share with you excuse me, I want to share with you a couple of recent stories and then a story that profoundly impacted and changed our organization that goes back about 5 or 6 years ago. So here's a couple of things that I want to share with the listeners, and especially the SMMEs, small business owners that are listening in. I had the opportunity 2 weeks ago. I was invited with our incubator manager, Stephanie, to go up to Johannesburg and to attend the inaugural conference of the South Africa Future Trust. Now, who's the South Africa Future Trust? Cast our minds back to COVID. One of the COVID support packages that came to the front was the Oppenheimer Family Trust, and they had put forward 1 billion rand to support SMMEs in South Africa, and it was privately managed and privately executed, and healthy finance support. And because of the values and the culture behind the support and the way it was executed, they have to date already received more than R500 million back from those loans, right? And counting. And so what the Oppenheimer Trust has now done is, instead of taking that money back and making more money with it, they're actually pushing that money back into SMMEs in South Africa. And so this conference was a time to gather SMMEs from all over the country. And we were fortunate enough to be invited with some complimentary tickets. And so we flew up there and had a fantastic time. One thing I want to share in terms of what I saw and heard and experienced, there was an incredible sense of optimism and positivity in the room.
Good to hear.
What I noticed was missing. I did not pick up any cynicism, negativity, criticism. I did not pick up any sense of arrogance or pride. There was such a sense of unity. And networking freely and approachability and teachability, etc. So it was really beautiful. Two days of just some of the best speakers in the world that came and spoke into the South African context. One of those was a man named David Rogers. And I didn't know who he was before, but I'll tell you, I'll never forget who he is now. He's known as one of the foremost speakers on exponential leadership. David Roberts, not Rogers, Roberts. And he's also known as one of the world's top experts on disruption and exponential technology.
Okay.
He's got more degrees than a thermostat. So he's a really clever guy. And he came and he spoke for 2 hours, and it felt like 20 minutes. And one of the things I want to share today and flow into two other stories, and then that trip that changed us significantly, our culture, is that he said one of the things that they do when they go to big corporates or organizations and they want to transform the organization, they do an exercise where they put out A-frames. He said that keeps it very basic. And he says if we put out 10 or we put out 20 or we put out 30, he starts asking the senior executives, tell me every problem there is in the organization. And he says, every single time, no matter how many A-frames there are, by the end, they're all full,
okay,
right? And then they start breaking it down, and they start finding what's the driver, what one is causing this and driving this and this and this and that, etc. The process goes on a couple of days normally. And he says, every single time, they land with two root problems. And those two things is talent and culture. And he says the challenge with those two, if one of them is out of sync, you need the talent, you need the skills, you need the expertise normally in the organization, but you don't have them. You don't have them to do what you need to do, etc., because of certain constraints. And then on the other side, unless you have a healthy, good culture, you won't attract the talent. And also, you won't retain the talent.
Yeah.
So he says those two things are symbiotic. And so talking about if you want talent and keep talent, you need to work and develop a healthy culture. Now, a recent study also showed across the states, United States, UK, France, and Germany, over 5,000 young adults were interviewed. and across different sectors of business. And the results was quite surprising. What they found is that over 65% of those between 18 and 35 said that they would value a healthy organization culture over a higher salary. Okay?
Sure.
And 74% of all of the participants said that they would apply, that they would not apply to a company unless its values aligned with their own.
Sure.
And finally, over 74% said that if a company's culture deteriorates, they will leave, no matter what the pay is. So this is quite eye-opening, because we tend to think that the resource is the problem, money, yeah, and money can fix everything, and clearly it doesn't. This is like top experts speaking in that space, and this is also now research and studies across Stanford and Harvard that are speaking into the space. So let me bring it a little bit closer to home. We had, as an organization, we have been growing quite significantly over the last 13 years, and we had grown to a space where we have a turnover or a budget or a funding target that we need to meet and manage, and it required us to not to have the talent and expertise of a full-time chartered accountant on site. We were using a consultant for a few hours according to our budget, what we could afford and not afford. But we had grown so much that actually it was a bigger organization that required that,
yes,
if we wanted to be sustainable and healthy and et cetera. Now, to get a chartered accountant comes at a real high price, right? And so we put together the advert for the position, and we shared it out. Now, I can tell you today that the lady who is our finance director, she was working for one of the largest audit and accounting firms in the country. And she was on fast track journey to be junior partner. She was overseeing a team of 28 auditors. So she was already also an auditor and a chartered accountant. And she was managing a team of 28. She's young, dynamic, and very sharp. She found the advert through a friend of hers who was already employed with our organization. And she had heard so much about the organization from her friends, so about the culture, about ABCD. And she saw this, and she applied for the position. And the reality is that she was the right fit for the position, and we would never have been able to afford her. She took a significant salary cut. It must at least 50%, if not. We're a non-profit, so we can't pay that market-related salaries. And a year later, she said to me that I asked her, how do you feel about your decision? And she said, I've never regretted it one day. And we've been through really tough times in the last year. We even went through a financial time of having to consolidate,
sure,
right? And this was on her shoulders. So it's not that it's a stress-free job. It's actually quite stressful, because you have a budget and you have a staff and you have overheads and you have no product to sell. And next year you've got to get that
start
all over again, get that funding coming in, etc. So what really meant to her the most was the culture of the organization. So 6 years ago, myself and a colleague, we got a referral and an invitation through one of our donors to go and visit an organization in KZN called Live Village. And it was a very different organization. They've built a whole, literally, village there. It's an orphanage, but it's homes with a mum and 12 children. So, and there's about 25 of these homes on this premise. They built a school. They've got in social enterprises and all sorts of things. It's quite incredible. But it wasn't in our field of youth development. But yet we felt we need to go there and we need to just go and spend a couple of days there. And out of everything we heard and saw, there was one thing that was very clear to us. These guys had a culture of celebration. And we sat with the senior leaders. We spoke about this. We wanted to understand. And it was so deeply ingrained in the fabric of what they do that even if they had to let someone go, even if they had to fire someone or, you know,
there's a retrenchment.
Retrenchment or anything, they would still celebrate the person. They would still have a party to celebrate the contributions. And even if somebody was dismissed through a disciplinary, they would still celebrate the person and the contribution. So it was really deeply ingrained. And I was like, wow, that is quite something. I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to do that. But lo and behold, we brought that one thing back. It's like we went all the way there to get one thing. And we started to see how can we celebrate? How can we build and develop and grow a culture of celebration? Mm. So tying in with where I started about this year's a season to be jolly and celebrate, it's not a season of that. It's a culture of celebration. Nice. And so how do we do that? And how do we celebrate the small things? How do we celebrate the day in and day out things? Mm. How do we celebrate the achievements that happen middle year? How do we celebrate getting through tough seasons? Or do we just get through it and say, that was a tough season, let's move forward, let's keep going? Mm-hmm. But do we ever pause and just pause and reflect, like you say? Do we do that regularly? Do we make and carve out time? Mm-hmm. Because we're so busy chasing forward, we forget actually to celebrate what we have achieved together. And I'll tell you, to go through something like COVID as a small, medium enterprise business, to have survived, even at the cost, but to have survived and have even having to start all over again is worth celebrating.
Sure.
It's worth celebrating. And I think we can be so hard on ourselves that we don't actually look in the mirror and say to ourselves, well done.
Mm.
I'm still standing, you know?
Mm.
I'm still standing. We're still standing. We're still here. We are still going. And it's worth celebrating those things, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of real suffering and loss. There are still moments that need to be celebrated. And we owe it to ourselves and our organizations, to our staff, to our communities, to our businesses, to our families. Unless we do that, we get to Christmas, and actually by then everybody's too tired and actually just want to switch off.
Yes,
and it becomes quite stressful.
Yeah.
But when celebration is a culture, it's something that we do consistently. And I have to be honest, we have had to, over the 13 years, we have about three or four times that we had to sadly dismiss a staff member through a disciplinary and hearing. And with each one of those, we can't force them, right? So we've offered and we said, this is the date. We would love to celebrate you for what you've contributed. And every single one of them came. And on that day, there was no disciplinary, there was no dismissal, there was a recognition and an honoring and a celebration. Now, what I didn't anticipate is, of course, it's amazing for that person to have that validation and to leave there, hopefully having learned lessons, and hopefully this could be the thing that, the difference that makes the difference. However, what happens to the organization, to the staff, they get to see that no matter what, a person is still a person because of other people. And this is the very essence of Ubuntu. It's what it means. I am because you are. A person is a person because of other people. And so if we can take this one thing of celebration and start seeing how can we bring this in. Some of our younger staff, young leaders have started a few years ago, started something called Game Changers. And it's a staff reward scheme. It's not massive. It's not, you know, trips overseas or anything. It's vouchers or, you know. But I'll tell you what, the recognition and the contribution and the way they made it really to celebrate those individuals who are exhibiting the values of the organization consistently and then is voted by their peers as staff member of the month, etc. Yeah. But we call them game changers. And there's a little trophy that they get, and there's a T-shirt that they get, because it's a recognition not of what you've done in your work and you've worked hard in your task and ABC. In fact, everybody works hard, and yes, sure, certain excel at that, and there's metrics that different companies can use to reward that. Yeah. But what about the values of the organization? These are the things that really shapes culture. Those are the people who are the real game changers in the organization, and those are the ones that we need to recognize, and we get to celebrate them for modeling what we all actually collectively said, these are our values.
Wonderful.
Right?
And going back to what you said about that survey, it was, what was it, a high percentage of young people between the ages of 18 to 35,
correct,
across so many countries and businesses, etc.,
correct,
who kind of turned away from what might seem to be obvious finance, etc., and say, no, it's about the culture for me.
Yeah.
So you're tying it back to how important the culture is.
Yeah.
And this is a way of steering steering and upholding the culture through celebration,
absolutely,
throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also recognizing, I think one of the danger or one of the least things to find these days, and that isn't, I don't think, is appreciated enough, because in today's age, loyalty is few and far to find, right? People jump ship very quickly and they hop from this job to that or whatever. But do we recognize and really celebrate 10 years of loyal service,
sure,
15 years of loyal service. Now, when we celebrate those things, right, for the right reason, the byproduct is that when clients come, when customers come, when the big deals come, and they recognize that you have a very low turnover of staff, you have people who have been here 15 years, 20 years, this speaks to me as the big client, customer, merger, or whatever, as a healthy organization. Because people are staying here, there must be a healthy culture. And so celebrating has exponential more byproducts than we even can measure, the immeasurables that come because of that. And we don't do them for that, because then it won't be authentic.
No.
But this is one of those things that if we really take it to heart as business owners and business leaders, how can we start with something? I'll tell you what, celebration is contagious. Celebration is contagious. And the moment you start and you start to cultivate that culture, before you know that, birthdays are celebrated, and it's on a WhatsApp, and we've got 72 staff, right? On our WhatsApp group, I feel like there's 10 people getting, you know, having a birthday every other day. And it's as simple as a WhatsApp message, but that person feels recognized. They get a small little, I think I get mine as well, I think it's a 200 Rand Pick and Pay voucher. And I look forward to mine, because I go and buy myself a really nice bottle of wine that I wouldn't normally afford. And so, but it's a recognition, right, of something very small, but it means so much. And whoever is in the office at that moment when they hand it over, they sing happy birthday. And there's a photo and it goes on the WhatsApp group. I don't even do these things. This is just what's happening. The staff does it. And it's a recognition of, we see you, we value you, we celebrate you, we acknowledge you. And it makes so many of our staff, so many of our staff have told me some really sad stories that this is their birthday place. There's nothing at home. There's no cake. There's no one. There's no celebration. They don't get phone calls, etc. But here, this is, and this is when they say, this is my family. This is my tribe. This is my village. This is my vibe. These are my people. And so ultimately what happens is there's a sense of belonging. So the depth of these sort of things, we underestimate the small little things, how much they really matter and how much they really mean to the people who are ultimately, it's the people on the ground that are at the front end of delivering the services, producing the products, connecting with the customers. These are the people that really drive the business. And so how can we come, rather than from top down, how can we come from the bottom up? How can we celebrate them and create that culture within the organization? It starts with one small thing, and I will encourage all the listeners in businesses or in schools or in families or wherever, whatever trade or industry you're in.
Organizations,
you know, be the catalyst for change, you know, be the game changer and start a culture of celebration. It's contagious, and before you know it, everybody gets involved, and everybody likes to have a good party, don't they? So you're all invited to celebrate.
Love it. Thank you, Anton. And thank you for, I like the title of this book, which is Dare to Lead. And I think many times that you've sat here, I've been struck by the leadership that you share in a way which is relatable. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, there we go. That wraps up the year for us, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
It's actually quite cool that Anton is here for the final show of this year. And I have no doubt that he will be back, because now we can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
He's stuck now. Yeah, we're stuck with him, which is not the worst thing in the world. We've been stuck with Steve for about 23 years. So, you know, it's all very cool. Gentlemen, on a serious note, Steve, thank you. It's been a magnificent year. You brought a lot of wisdom into the studio. You brought a lot of passion into what you do. I don't think that outside of you going on holiday once or once that you've missed a session.
Correct.
And that type of commitment speaks to who you are and what you wanting to teach people. Anton, thank you. What you've done with that organization is incredible, and you've done it without any ego. I'm not surprised that the people will follow you to the ends of the earth, because in the way you do things, it's like you following them. Yeah, so I thank you for your time, and I know you're a busy guy and you give up your time often to come and speak to us here on the Entrepreneur Zone. It's going to wrap it up for this year, folks. We will have Steve back, even if we have to drag him kicking and screaming. And if Anton goes missing in action, I will personally go hunt him down.
16th of January.
Is that when you're going to be back?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Anton, even if you hide away, if you hear somebody coming up behind you going, da do 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 da 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 da, you'll know who it is. Gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful festive season.
Thank you.
Be safe, drive carefully, and we'll see you again next year.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much.